Well, let's pray as we get going here. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the gathering of your family here. Lord, we know your spirit is here. You've promised that. And we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the word that you've given us about yourself will fill us today. Lord, we pray for your presence and your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was 2 years ago. Bev and I, we were in Wisconsin on kind of a getaway and up there for a month. We bought a house while we were up there. We bought a house on High Street. And we brought our trailer back down, and I think we parked in the parking lot out here and came in to enjoy the worship here at RBC, and we've never left for very long. But for the last 2 years, we have utterly enjoyed this church family and so blessed by God privilege us enough to be a part of what he's doing here. Just thrilled. Well, Bev and I retired from 35 years of ministry, but during that time, back in the 2000s, we were privileged to have a campus ministry. It was a coffee house just a block away from Emporia State University. And this verse that I had Josh, this section that I had Josh read, a part of it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power in his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word inner being became the idea for the name of our coffee house. We called it the inner being. And of course, the whole idea and our logo was this cup of coffee swirling, and the bean was in the center of it. Because the whole idea is what's important, what's inside is what is really important. The inner being. So we did that for a decade, and it was a beautiful ministry God blessed us through. Now, so kids, I'm going to need your help this morning. I know you may be coloring and drawing. That's, don't stop. But I'm going to need your help this morning. I need some sound effects. So first, what I need is shuffling. Now, let's just do that by tapping your legs. Help me out. Excellent. So I'll ask for that later. And the next thing I'm going to need is your best kind of scraping noise. Can you do that? Okay, all right. Now I'll ask for that later, okay? So turn to Mark, if you would, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. So to bring us where we are in the Gospels, Jeremy is preaching in John, and right now in that Gospel of John is in the first year of Jesus' ministry, a whole lot of ministry going on. Where we're picking up here is jumping ahead in the story of Jesus a little bit there. And so Mark chapter 2, Jesus and his disciples have been ministering for about a year. And so that's where we pick up. Jesus has been in Galilee ministering, and crowds at this point are increasing. Religious leaders are now pursuing Jesus. Controversy is growing about this prophet or whoever he is. And so Jesus is revealing himself little by little. Today, we will see him reveal even more. So here we go. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum. Now, Matthew tells us here that Jesus sailed back home. Now, I like to sail. We used to have a sailboat. Caleb and Becky have a sailboat. I don't know. I just find it cool. Jesus was sailing back home. And so Capernaum is on the shoreline, and there's going to be a harbor there. And if you've ever been at a harbor, a marina, and a sailboat sailing in, it catches your eye. And so people are watching this boat come in, and I'll bet they said, "Look, is that Jesus? Is that Jesus on that boat?" Because then it says the people heard that he had come home. This was his base of operations, this little town on the seashore. Verse 2. So many gathered that there was no room left. They're inside some house or home. There wasn't even, it says, not even outside the door. It was packed. The house was packed. People were gathered because they wanted to hear outside the door. There was no room even there. And he preached the word to them. So, some wanted to hear him. They came. They tried to crowd their way in. And some were coming out of curiosity, no doubt. Now, Luke says about this, that the Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. So his fame is that they've got to check out who is this guy. And so there are religious leaders. So there's a lot of them inside this house. Now they had the good seats. They always did. That's not in the scripture, but I'm telling you, the religious leaders were sitting up on the front row. But so many people came to the house, was filled to overflowing. And it says that Jesus was teaching them the word. Now, I think he was probably talking to them about the kingdom of heaven. It was his favorite subject. The kingdom of heavens, he said, is at hand. You remember, the kingdom of heaven is precious, like a pearl, like a treasure. To enter this kingdom is worth everything. In it is found friendship and family, togetherness, healing of all kinds, relief, peace, joy, and a loving, approachable king who rescues, forgives, and gives life. And this king wants to spend now and forever with you and your neighbors. So as Jesus spoke, there was commotion beyond the door outside. Commotion. Let's hear it. Kids, help me with commotion. Okay, good. Well, Jesus continues teaching. And a few minutes later, there was shuffling and scraping. It was digging noises were heard on the roof. So dust and dirt started sifting down on those in the best seats, the Pharisees. Now, it turns out there were five men. We're on a roof. Now, the reason they're on a roof, I mean, our roofs, you have to get a ladder, go up on the shingles. That isn't how it works there, even now, I think. Their houses were built with a flat roof, and most of them had an outside stairway to get up to the top, and they would spend the cool evening up there, and that's the way this house was, too. So, normally, these friends with the man, probably would have carried him every day to his favorite spot to beg. But today, they came to get their friend healed. You see, it had to be today. You never knew where Jesus was going to go next. It had to be today. And so they brought him, and they tried to get into the front door. But we already know there's no way. It was packed. And so one of them, at least, had an idea. Let's go up on the roof. Well, what are you going to do up there? Let's dig a hole. Now, let's pause there just for a minute. Four men, probably friends of a paralyzed guy. Friends of a paralyzed guy. Folks, I need more handicapped and broken friends in my life. Not a pity project, but a true friend. I need to make friends. Maybe even one. So wait, think about that. What if each one of us made friends with one? Maybe you already are. And you made friends with another. Just think about that. One, two, three, four, five, six. Think about that. How many friends we could make in this one crowd here. It'd be awesome. And this is what I find about myself. I find my eyes are more open to others when they're focused on Jesus. I want to repeat that. I find my eyes are more open to others when they're focused on Jesus. When I take my eyes off of Jesus, they focus on me by default. Do you experience that? I find that my heart is only open to the broken to the degree that it's open to Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. I find that my heart is only open to the broken to the degree that it is open to Jesus. So, more digging. Help me out, guys. Quick, 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 quick. So, a hole, they made a hole the size of a cot. Sunlight pierces through and reflects off the dust that's falling. And they lower their friend down, it says, right in front of Jesus. Do you see him? They lower him down. When Jesus, this is the next thing Mark says. When Jesus saw their faith, first of all, he saw it. It was in action. Something was happening. Their faith was being acted out. He saw their, plural, five guys. He saw their faith. When our faith is an action, church, he sees our together faith. When we go to festivals and Smoke on the Bricks, which is coming up, and other activities that we do, and VBS, Jesus sees our together faith. So for these five guys, this is the kind of faith that it was. It was a searching faith. They had to take him to Jesus. They had to find where Jesus was. It was a persistent faith. They didn't give up. They came to the door. They didn't just walk away. They found another way. It was a persistent faith. It was an unafraid faith. They dug a hole in the roof of somebody's home. He was unafraid. This was more important than the guy's roof. It was a digging faith. It was a faith in Jesus that led them to action on behalf of another person. It's a beautiful picture. So they had accomplished what they set out to do, bring him to Jesus. Boy, did they bring him. They lowered him to Jesus. And there was the guy, wide-eyed, No worse for wear. Expectant. Bright-eyed. Maybe a little embarrassed. Then, Mark tells us what Jesus says next. He says, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." Forgiven. The word must have washed over him like a fresh breeze. Forgiven. You know what it feels like when you're broken and you're sorry and you place yourself at the feet of Jesus and trustingly, expectantly, you ask him to forgive you, and he does. John wrote in his first letter this verse. It's one to memorize. When we confess our sins, and God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want you to say that with me, phrase by phrase. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. 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 This man came to be healed, but Jesus met his most dire need. He needed to be forgiven. Now, what if Jesus would have just healed him physically? Restored some sort of quality of life? That would have been beautiful, wonderful. You know, when we do good things in the name of Jesus, our goal ultimately is that they'll meet him and they'll belong to him. We can do a lot of good, all the social justice things that need to be done. We need to lift up our neighborhoods. We need to lift up our communities. The kingdom of God does this. Everyone, whether they know it's Jesus, whether they accept Jesus, God lifts up and does something good for all people. But the spiritual need is the most dire need. So, when Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," the crowd hushed for a few seconds. Then the looks. Did he just say that? He just forgave this guy? And so Mark tells us what their thoughts were. "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They were right about that last part. Who can forgive sins but God alone? He's the only one able. And this would have been blasphemy if Jesus wasn't God. Immediately, though, it says here, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, he responded to their thoughts, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'?" Well, let's face it. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because who would know the difference? There's nothing immediately shown for it. But if Jesus says, "Take up your mat and walk," well, now that's a different matter. Something had better happen. So Jesus said to them, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." You see, Jesus had the authority. Think about that word. The authority to forgive sin. That means when he forgives, it's done. Sin is gone in that moment as far as the east is to the west. Whether you in your heart still feel sorry about your sin, and that's normal, have a little guilt about that, that's normal. The Holy Spirit gives us a guilt so we can deal with our sin. But it's gone as far as God is concerned. It's wiped out. You are purified from all unrighteousness in that moment. And so you're never more clean before God than when you confess your sin before Him and He forgives you by faith. We're told, John tells us, and throughout the rest of the scripture here, it says that we're never more clean in that moment before we can go out and flub up again. In that moment, we are pure before God. Not about your feeling. Yes, you're sorry. It's about the real, actual, complete, and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior on your life. When I was making these notes, some of them on my phone, my phone spell checked sin. Changed it to since. I guess it didn't like the word. Me neither. It didn't recognize sin. Sometimes I don't either. He said to this forgiven, paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. Immediately. This man on the mat, all his muscles were restored in that moment. Immediately, strength came into his arms, his legs, his torso. His nerves repaired. He had feeling in his legs again. He instantly was given the ability to control and use his legs and arms once again. Balance and agility came into his body. Boom, like that. Any of you follow the story of the solo woman who rode from like L.A. to from California all the way to Hawaii? This happened about a month ago, all by herself. And she broke the record for it being done, rowing to Hawaii from California. I mean, you talk about physically in good shape. But when she came to the shore, and they got her out of her rowboat. They had to hold her up. She could hardly walk because she had been in that rowboat for like 45 days. This was a miracle that people had never seen before. And Mark says, this amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You see, Jesus was revealing himself. That was the whole point. He showed them that he has the authority to forgive sins. Only God can do that. He reads their thoughts, the mind of their mind and their heart. Only God can do that. He has the power to instantly heal the most severe malady by simply saying the word. Only God can do that. The Bible calls miracles signs. Pastors pointed that out. Many of us travel to Branson. Some of us just got back. When you're driving down to Branson on Highway 65, you talk about signs. Signs along the road of everything that you are about to experience, museums and Silver Dollar City and all kinds of things, Butterfly Palace. And you see, a sign points to something greater than itself. The purpose of this healing, which was a sign, the main purpose of all healings is a sign that points to Jesus. The sign says, He is Lord, He is Savior, He's healer, He can heal your most dire need. And it's not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. He can forgive all your sin. Now the crowd, after this event, eventually dispersed. Some were there to hear him teach. They got what they came for. Some were there to see a show. They got what they came for. Some were there to gather incriminating evidence. They think they got what they came for. Some came because of friendship and faith and hope to see their broken friend healed. Well, they got what they came for. But one came needing the help of friends to get him to Jesus. He received more than he hoped or dreamed, immeasurably, abundantly more than he could ask or imagine. When he heard Jesus say, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Where do you place yourself in this story? You know, when you read a story, I mean, usually you identify with some character. And there may be more than one. Do you identify with a forgiven man? Do you identify with the friends? I hope you identify with more than a spectator. Today, we don't have to be carried to them. We don't have to be prevented by crowds. We don't have to dig through a roof. We can enter his presence anytime, worship at his feet, and Jesus will meet our most dire need. Now, to him who is able to do more, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in RBC and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And all the people said, amen.
Thank you so much, brother. Well, beloved, we are not just here to hear. We're here to respond to Jesus. And I can say this with the confidence of God's word that's just been preached in his whole scriptures. Every person in this room is beckoned to come to Jesus today. That's his message that he's still preaching. He's still proclaiming, "Come to me." So whether you're in Christ this morning or you're not believing in Jesus yet, or you've walked with him for many years, or maybe you're a child here this morning and you're just curious about Jesus, he's calling you, "Come to me." And so we're going to end our service with a practice that we regularly practice here at RBC. We're going to take a small meal together called the Lord's Supper. Now, there's some food and drink involved in this meal, because our physical bodies need nourishment. But this is not just to nourish our physical bodies. This meal that Jesus gave us was so we could remember that our spirits need nourished on him. And so as you come to this table this morning, remember, I need nourished by Jesus. I need to feed on him. And I need my thirst quenched by him. So hear these words from 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So those of you who are trusting in Jesus this morning, we're going to invite you forward together as brothers and sisters in Christ around Jesus' table to proclaim his death. This is your means of preaching this morning, coming to this bread and this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death on your behalf. You're saying, "I'm confessing my sin by coming up here. I'm confessing I'm a sinner in need of this death in my place, and Jesus satisfies my need today." So if you've trusted in Jesus and you are committed to walking in a lifestyle of repentance, not perfection, but repentance. And that you've signified that by being baptized to proclaim that to the world. This meal is for you. Jesus is for you if you have not trusted in him yet. He's calling you to come to him, not to come forward and receive a meal, but to come to him in faith for the first time. So if you haven't trusted in Jesus yet, we invite you to stay seated, but to connect with the Lord in your heart and repent of your sin and ask the Lord to forgive you, like we heard this man was forgiven in the story today that Tom preached. And the same promise that he received in the story, you can receive today too, on the authority of Jesus' word. So as you're ready, we're going to play some music, reflect on what God has provided for your need in Jesus, and as you're ready, come forward and receive the bread and the cup, and then take your seat again, and we'll close with more worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that